It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Alrighty then, we begin this 27th day of June, 2017. Titanic Tuesday on the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is in fact where we live, and that is in fact where you should go. If you'd like to participate in the real-time madcap multimedia zany wacky conversational extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And just pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump right in. The conversation is, in fact, just dandy. And I'm still learning how some of this stuff works. But I'm pretty happy with how some of this stuff works. I didn't mean to kill the drum loop there, but oh, what the hell, right? Yeah. Like I said, just pick yourself out a screen name and a password, jump in, and the folks who arrived early will greet you. More folks will be wandering along in fairly short order. But when you pop into the chat room, you will be happily greeted by the likes of Anatole and Lizardo and Steve from Georgistan and VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a wise spacing guild master, has chosen not to fold space today and is, in fact, just Sparky in the chat room because it's probably like a... Well, it's all of 93 degrees there in Northern California, which means it's like 196 in the man cave. Okay? Yeah. So just bear with me. It's been an interesting teching 24 hours or so. And I think I've gotten a handle on what's going on here. You heard we got rid of the muddiness on the playback on the sound there. So we're moving right along, and I show good streaming on White Rose Society, and at the alternative stream at headon.live. So. There. We'll see. I'm playing with some buttons. But that should mean we're good to go on other platforms as well, like say TuneIn. Let me know if we're not. But it's Titanic Tuesday on the horn, and we have we've got Titanic manifestations of right-wing intellect to share with you. You may recall that the origins of Titanic Tuesday go back in the dim mists of time here on the horn. To one morning when our buddy Jim was listening to right-wing radio in America's fifth smallest radio market, Beckley, when he heard the morning monotone, a man who could put mosquitoes to sleep, who could dull hummingbirds to the point where you could actually see individual movements of their wings. Steve paused from reading the newspaper to his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing audience, long enough to take a call from somebody who said, "Steve, how come it is you reckon they is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? I seen some one time when I was down in the mines, and they seashells in the rocks. And Steve, we ain't nowhere near the beach." To which Steve responded, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." Still no word on the movement of the Titanic lemon pipper, D-pipper. No, a lot of stuff on that Titanic table. And so on these Tuesdays, we celebrate manifestations of self-assured right-wing idiocy on a Titanic scale. And today is no different from any other. A reminder, though, before we jump into the meat of things, this is a listener-supported broadcast operation. We try to raise $200 every evening, and that means that, this evening is like any other. We actually made the goal last night. Thanks, everybody. And jumped out ahead by just a little bit. Now, don't everybody think, "Oh, well, we're ahead. That means I'll wait for somebody else." No. Thanks to Janice, we have $180 to go this evening. And thanks to our lone subscriber, Arnold, it's $175. So we have $175 in fundraising to go this evening, and hopefully that'll be knocked out in fairly short order. Thank you very kindly, indeed. $170. Thank you very kindly to Patrick in Germany for subscribing. We need all of those. What we need is 13 per day. I did the math over the weekend. We need 13 $10 a month subscribers per day, and that would get us to $400. So if somewhere along the way we were to get 11 and a half more subscribers today, twelve. We need 12 more $10 a month subscribers, and we'll be right there. Okay. All right. Let's make this a little better. Hopefully that will. Just got a couple of notes saying. Gain was down a little bit. I've boosted it some, and hopefully that will provide some needed help. Let me know if it needs to come up even more. Thanks, Glenn. Thank you very kindly for jumping in. That takes us down to 160. That's a great start on this Titanic Tuesday. So that having been said, news of the day for this 27th day of June 2017, as we wind down the month toward hopefully licking the Lithuanian and nudging the Norsky for our month-end bonus. News of the day? Well, on the one hand, the headlines are reading something like this. Lacking votes, Senate Republicans cancel vote on Trump care. Because that happened today. there was supposed to be a luncheon in which all 54 members of the Republican caucus in the Senate sat down to graham crackers and peanut butter and a glass of milk with America's toddler in chief. Who knows? Or maybe dry-aged New York strip steaks that have been flame ossified until they can be worn as commemorative souvenirs, half sold onto any senator's shoe as he walks away. I don't know, but the Republican caucus was going to have a healthcare luncheon. And they were going to talk about the tax cut bill, the tax giveaway bill, masquerading as a health care bill that masquerades as providing, not really, health care for, some Americans, but 22 under the Senate version, million less than are having it now. Right. Just playing with audio a little bit here. No, Steve in New York, it's not your devices. He says everything's coming out too quiet for me. No, it's here. But by the same token, I was told I also had a lot of clipping last night, so I'm watching levels for all I'm worth. Anyway, so the luncheon was scheduled, and the White House kitchen got busy slicing the bologna. Well, no, that would actually take place when the Republicans arrived for the luncheon. But then, lo and behold, the news came out that, yes, chinless Mitch McConnell, who walks around with a smile on, it's not really a smile as much as it is a sort of rictus on his face, reminiscent of someone with a terrible case of gas and trying to hold back a room-clearing fart. Well, there we are in the gutter at only 13 minutes past the hour. And suddenly it was announced at about, 12 minutes till 2 this afternoon, Eastern Time, that the vote on the screwing of Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now today in the universe forever under God, amen. Jesus, I even have to tweak that. Well, they're not going to have it this week like they thought they were going to have it. No, they're going to wait until after the 4th of July holiday. Because everybody then will have terrible hangovers and people, people's gout will be kicking in from all the barbecue and the ribs and everything and the hamburgers and the hot dogs and the cruelty-free, non-GMO, free-range, cage-free, vegan, grillable patty things. And so maybe they'll have a little more, right. Ultimately, what happened is that last night, three members of the Senate, who happened to be Republicans, because really, in talking about all of this wrangling, the Democrats, they don't count. It only matters what the Republicans want to do. And they need 51. Well, they need 50 of them. Plus Vice President Mike Pencil Neck Geek, in case there's a tie to be broken. And three Republicans stated publicly that they would vote against a motion to proceed, which would effectively stop the bill from getting a vote. Those three were Senator Susan Collins of Maine, Senator Dean Heller of Nevada, and Senator Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, of Kentucky Stan. Now, remember, Senator Rand Paul was voting against it because he felt like it didn't, the bill is not shitty enough to American citizens. Just making sure that we've got that. Yeah. So with that in mind, and instead of just taking a beating, well, Mitch McConnell said, then we won't vote on this till after the 4th of July holiday, and maybe people will remember why they love America, and since they love America, why it is that 22 million people need to be soundly screwed. Mm-hmm. So that means that a bunch of Republican senators and arguably some House members who are from districts that aren't entirely batshit crazy yet are probably not going to enjoy their 4th of July holidays. Traditionally, politicians go out and, they ride down the street on the 4th of July parade on a big shiny fire truck or a convertible, and they wave, and they, right, and they do some speechifying and whatnot. But that might not be, that might not be the case this coming holiday weekend. The 4th of July, of course, falls on Tuesday, so that means most of the partying will be done on, Friday and Saturday. And for those wondering, I see no reason why we wouldn't have the community together and up and running and chatting and carrying on and conversating and chewing the fat and discussing and cussing and whatever on Tuesday, the 4th day of July. So just in case anybody was wondering what the program schedule was going to be, we should be fine. Now, also earlier in the day, there was a story that went out, which led me to remark that it seemed fairly obvious that Mitch McConnell was playing Donald Trump like a pawn shop fiddle. Because what he said to them, what the Politico story said, McConnell warns Trump GOP on health bill failure. It took, over at Politico, it took Burgess Everett, Josh Dawsey, and Jennifer Habercorn all working together to get this article out today. And the subhead on the story reads, "If Obamacare repeal fails in the Senate, the GOP might be forced to compromise with Democrats." Oh, Jesus, no, not that. Not compromise, not seek consensus, not screw 22 million people out of their health care. Oh, God, no, not that. The article states, "Mitch McConnell is delivering an urgent warning to staffers, Republican senators, and even the president himself. If Obamacare repeal fails this week, the GOP will lose all leverage and be forced to work with Chuck Schumer. Now, the inclusion of Forced to Work with Chuck Schumer, I'm sure, was a deliberate act. Because he's one of in what remains connected together in amongst the Swiss cheese-like holes burrowed out by the spirochetes in what used to pass for the brain of Tangerine Tiberius, the name Chuck Schumer rings a klaxon, and it makes the possessor of said hollowed out former brain begin to fidget and squirm and wiggle because he remembers that he, for some reason or another, hates Chuck Schumer almost as much as some members of Chuck Schumer's own party do. And so that was a dog whistle. President Donald Trump continued to float the possibility on Monday that Congress and the White House would simply let Obamacare's individual markets collapse if the GOP's repeal effort goes down later this week. But McConnell called up Trump recently, according to people with knowledge of the call, to deliver a reality check. Voters expect Republicans to deliver on their long-held promise to repeal the law, McConnell said, according to those people. And failing to repeal the law would mean the GOP would lose its opportunity to do a partisan rewrite of the law that could scale back Medicaid spending, cut Obamacare's taxes, repeal a host of industry mandates, and kill tens of thousands of Americans. Oh, I added the kill tens of thousands of Americans part. They'd never write something so incivil over at Politico. Instead, Republicans would be forced to enter into bipartisan negotiations with Democrats to save failing insurance markets. Yeah. One Republican staffer told Politico, "If we fail, we're going to be negotiating with Chuck Schumer." The Politico makes it sound like negotiating with old Scratch himself. When in fact, once upon a time in this country, that was actually how that was how business got done. You know, both sides would disagree, and then they'd push each other a little bit, nudge, and they would find a way to compromise so that neither side was completely happy, but hopefully something that got accomplished that could keep things going for a little bit, keep the plates spinning on all the sticks. That's over, isn't it? Because working with the other side, that's just dirty. Right? Getting some tech advice here. I'm being told there's a lot of clipping. I don't see it. It's not happening on the streaming interface. It's not happening on the mix desk. And if I back things off, I start getting emails saying, "Bob, I can't hear you." So I don't know. Well, this is going to take some... please bear with me. I don't know... Damn it, Jim, I'm not an engineer. Obligatory Star Trek reference. But no, that's what's happened in That's what's happened in the United States over the past few years. The idea that you compromise with the other side in order to get everybody together to vote on, to agree on something, that's become up there with, you know, denying the divinity and saving grace of Christ Jesus. Under the subject line, and I think he meant to say Republicans, Republicans forced to work with Chuck Schumer, Stephen New York writes, the correct response from Schumer, if that happens, should be, fuck you. That's the only way they own this. The GOP will then try to blame the Democrats for obstruction, and then the Democrats' message is, hey, he had the majority. More evidence they can't govern. Now, will the Democrats, with their butter knife at this machete fight, actually think to do that? I have my doubts, but that is what the strategy should be, in my very humble opinion. And that raises the next issue. What does that even mean? Forced to talk. Well, we're going to be negotiating with Chuck Schumer. What does that mean? Because what is there to negotiate in this issue? Thank you, Gene. News Ninja Gene says, you sound fine on TuneIn, Bob. Yay. It's nice to know someone thinks so. I appreciate it, Gene, because it really is. It's hard to tech unless you're actually out there working the program, and it would, yeah, you understand? Yeah. Thank you, Gene, thank you. But the question arises, Robert in Australia says everything sounds fine, too. And he's listening on TuneIn. Beautiful. Maybe there's some progress being made. But anyway, really, no kidding. What remains out there to negotiate over? I mean, this bill is a pretty clear manifestation, even if Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, you'll notice Ted Cruz disappeared from the list of senators who didn't approve of the bill. He was part, because it wasn't conservative enough. It wasn't hateful enough for his Christian morals. It didn't shit on enough people to satisfy his vision of the message of Jesus Christ. Because we all believe Ted Cruz, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed booger-eating future king of America, we all believe him when he tells us he's a Christian, right? Sure we do. And we believe people who tell us that if we swap the old family cow for three magic beans, it'll grow a giant beanstalk up to the heavens where we can kill a giant and get the goose that lays the golden egg. Yeah, sure we do. But here we are. 7 years, was it? That the Republicans campaigned on how, by golly, all we got to do is get a president and majorities in both houses, and we'll sure enough get rid of that Obamacare, because that Kenyan Muslim U-slurper health care is making us less American by the minute. There's people turning positively commie by being able to go and get a tetanus shot when they cut their fingers on a piece of old rusty barrel that they're trying to haul off for scrap. Mm-hmm. So we got this shitty not half-hearted, this shitty hard-hearted attempt to at least get some of the Kenyan Muslimness out of the Affordable Care Act. It wasn't enough for the real sons of bitches in the House and the Senate. And it was too much for the Republicans who lived in districts where they thought there was a vague chance they might not get to go on gobbling along with all four trotters in the trough. I mean, there was a way to do this. Not that I would have approved of it or suggested it, but there was a way to do this. We talked about this a few months ago. A one-sentence bill. The Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, comma, code citation, comma, be and is hereby repealed. I mean, if they were really hell-bent to do it, they could have done it that way. And theoretically, everything would have been returned to that moment before the Affordable Care Act was ever signed into law. And the insurance companies probably would have all gone bankrupt. And then all of a sudden, all those Republicans who used to scream about corporate welfare, and you know, remember the teabaggers sort of came to prominence bitching about the fact that the government helped General Motors to not die. Well, there would have been and you know, there were no small number of people on either side of the aisle who, when Wall Street went right down the toilet, were hollering, burn, baby, burn. And wanted to let Wall Street take, because Wall Street, you know, the people who are Wall Street, they were going to be okay, because they're gajillionaires anyway. But anybody who wasn't a gajillionaire was going right up on the cross. And there were a lot of Americans who said, hey, get me a bucket and some nails and a hammer, and I'll go right to work. I'll start nailing my neighbors right up. Burn, baby, burn! I remember. But they could have done that. All those Freedom Caucus fuckers with their years and years and years of hollering repeal and replace, mostly repeal, they could have done that. But they didn't. And instead, we get this cheesy-ass drama of the Republicans trying to pretend that they actually want to craft a piece of legislation, trying to pretend that they actually want to govern, when they remain the same chaotic, anarchist, predatory thugs who have long since declared their desire to not just kill Obamacare, but to kill the idea of self-government in the United States, deader than Pharaoh's cat. And please, let me assure you, Pharaoh's cat is very, very, very dead. I think they stuffed him and put him in Tutankhamun's grave, didn't they? Wasn't there a stuffed cat dead? Bast, you know, the Egyptian cat god. Wouldn't it be great if you were, wouldn't it be great to be a cat in Egypt? Revered as a god with an entire country for a litter box? Sand everywhere. But that's where we find ourselves. And so, instead of having their vote and either winning or losing, the Republican Party decided to ruin the 4th of July. Sons of bitches. So this weekend, people will try to one degree or another to enjoy themselves with a national holiday of commemorating the birth, if you will, of the intent to form a nation out of some British colonies. But in amongst the brats, sizzling on the grill, standing in the clouds of delightful, delicious, savory, scintillating hickory smoke wafting from the smokers, over by the table where the free-range, cruelty-free, non-GMO, cage-free kale has been chopped up into a salad. Over there by the cooler, that's where I'll be. Over there by the cooler where all the varied and delightful forms of yogurt are kept cold. Over by the kegs, by the blender, where the margaritas are whirring away. Instead of being able to cast aside their cares and their concerns, or maybe even some of us do this, taking a few moments to ponder the genius of those mostly wealthy white guys who invented the notion of having a country, America will be clenching its cheeks. And I'm not talking about the ones on its face. It's wondering what chinless Mitch McConnell has in store for them when the Senate comes back into session. What do you think? Here's what I think. There never was going to be a vote this week. This is government is now nothing more than reality television. There wasn't going to be a vote this week because it wouldn't string out the storyline long enough. Chinless Mitch McConnell, who really is one of the two most brilliantly evil members of the Republican Party at present. The other one is old balls and strikes, dead-eyed John Roberts. Who made, in his own way, all of this possible by striking down the compulsory aspects of the Medicaid expansion, thereby making sure that people in states like Alabama and Mississippi stand, in places like Tennessee and Georgia stand and South Carolina stand and North Carolina stand and Texas stand, would never see the Medicaid expansion and never know what it felt like to be working class and have health care. And in making certain as such, that they wouldn't get up in arms if their elected Republican representatives decided to screw over the Medicaid expansion. Oh, John Roberts, you evil, evil man. Chinless Mitch McConnell has led America to believe that he actually intended to have a vote on this bill this week. But he didn't because, and you know how I know? Because he's got money in his pocket. Somewhere between $180 and $200 billion of your money is in Mitch McConnell's pocket. And he can use that $180 did I say million? I think I meant billion. Yeah, somewhere between $180 billion and $200 billion of your money. And Chinless Mitch can use that to buy off shrinking violet senators in order to make sure that they vote the way he wants them to. That is, to screw the American people and give a tax cut. And what a tax cut it is. It's a whopper. To people who arguably do not even need one. Yeah, I'm right there with you, Asa. Asa says, as much as we hate the fucker, you gotta hand it to that chinless son of a Mitch. He's a pretty good political tactician. Yeah, he is. Because, among other things, he has put himself in a no-lose situation. Because, as I pointed out, I'm driving home again, if this thing should happen to fail, then the collective sigh of relief in both the House and the Senate Republican caucuses will probably actually be significant enough to speed up the blades on the nearest wind turbine farm. Because it will mean that, well, the one issue that it looked like the Democrats were going to be able to really make some hay out of, it's gone. Kaput. And so now he's got until after the 4th of July break. And I don't, you know, the Senate are not like us. 4th of July is over. Yeah, back on your coffee break's over, back on your head. Chinless Mitch is going to have several days, maybe even as much as a week or more, to work the shrinking violets in his caucus. And maybe even a couple of possible Quisling Dems. Oh my God, Joe Manchin. What's the bargaining chip going to be? The bargaining chip will be the opioid crisis. That's what that $180 to $200 billion of your money that's in Mitch McConnell's pocket will be used for. To placate Republican senators in states that are absolutely on fire from the opioid disaster. Did you notice the use of the word? I'm going to try to stop referring to it as the opioid crisis and refer to it as the opioid disaster. Because it's a disaster the same way the Freedom disaster was in West Virginia. There are common elements to it. Failure of regulation. Failure of oversight. Maximization of capitalistic urges. By the way, some rather horrifying numbers out. Kind of hard to get your head around this, but we can try. At least one person who looks at things like the opioid crisis has said that as many as 500,000 people in this country may die from opioids in the next 10 years. Max Blau is the author of the story over at STAT, STAT. He observes, Max Blau does, there are now nearly 100 deaths a day from opioids, a swath of destruction that runs from Tony, New England suburbs to the farm country of California, from the beach towns of Florida to the Appalachian foothills. Heck, it runs all the way into the Appalachian Hills, not just the foothills. An expert panel convened by STAT says that the death toll could spike to 250 deaths a day if fentanyl continues to spread in its use and people continue to be tragically unable to access addiction treatment. If that prediction proves accurate, Mr. Blau writes, the death toll over the next decade could top 650,000 human beings. That is almost as many Americans as will die from breast cancer and prostate cancer combined during that time period. Opioids could wind up killing as many Americans in a decade as HIV/AIDS has killed since the beginning of the HIV/AIDS crisis in the early 1980s. And do it in just 10 years. Even the more middle-of-the-road forecasts suggest that by 2027, the annual U.S. death toll from opioids alone will likely surpass the worst year of gun deaths on record and may top the worst year of the AIDS deaths at the peak of that epidemic in the 1990s, when 50,000 people were dying per year. And so, pretending to give a damn about people touched by that crisis, Chinless Mitch will wring his hands and pretend that he cares, and dribble out a few billion dollars of your money to achieve his political goals. And no one can stop him. Nobody. Nobody. So, it's a week on tenterhooks. Just as Mitch McConnell wanted it to be. If he finally gets the votes necessary, then he can claim to have fulfilled the charge delivered him by the voters to get rid of that Kenyan Muslim usurper health care. If he fails, the GOP stranglehold on both houses of Congress in 2018, well, its continuation is almost a certainty. Along with all those deaths that may come to the United States, and maybe this would actually get the attention of Republicans, billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars in economic harm. What do you think? Is there a way out of this trick box? Because I asked the question early on, where is it that the Republicans would like for the Democrats to compromise with them? If compromise is, and it is, the heart and soul of the governing process, where's the compromise? What is it that is possible in dealing with this issue? The only reason that the exchanges have failed is because of a nasty bit of business that Marco Rubio engaged in a year or more ago to withhold federal monies. Now Trump is doing the same thing, saying he'll withhold the subsidy payments and deliberately cause the insurance markets to collapse. The ramifications of that for the entire country, whether it be in the big city or the little, you know, little county seat, town, whatever, or out in the countryside, are devastating. There's a lot of people that are actually employed in the healthcare industry. You know, we talk about the coal industry here in West Virginia a lot. Well, for the longest time, the number one employer in West Virginia was the coal industry in various forms and various companies. that ceased to be the case a long time ago. And the coal industry was supplanted by who else? Walmart. Walmart became the single largest employer in West Virginia. Well, Walmart is not the single largest employer in West Virginia anymore. It is West Virginia University Health Systems. CNAs, LPNs, RNs. Janitors, maintenance technicians. The people who, electricians and plumbers and people who keep all of these massive hospitals going. And yeah, doctors, surgeons, records, clerks. And if Donald Trump deliberately collapses the market, those folks are very likely not going to have a job. A bunch of them will lose jobs. Little hospitals, I know for a fact here in West Virginia, I can point to two of them that I know of. Little hospitals will close. Because the two that I'm thinking of right now are making the bulk of their operational cost by providing long-term care for elderly residents. Nursing home care. And 50% or more of that comes from Medicaid. Well, when that goes away, the hospitals go away. And by the way, the ultimate Republican plan isn't just to do this damage with this bill. In the long run, the Republicans plan to reduce Medicaid expenditures by 50%, half. Some now, some later. And when that happens, forget it. The emergency room that everybody is supposed to go to because nobody ever gets denied care in America. Everybody can go to the emergency room. Even though the emergency room does not provide anything more than stabilization care, not curative care, not even palliative care, just short-term stabilization. Jesus, I know this by personal experience. Nobody's ever come in and said, hey, Bob, come on, we're going to go take care of that pancreas right now. Uh-uh. No. The ERs where people show up after car wrecks. The ERs where people go when, after staying away as long as they could, hoping that fever would go down, and the fever doesn't, and they finally show up. Yeah, the hospitals that maintain those ERs are gone. Not just in West Virginia, but all over the country. And you know what? All over the country, even in states that don't have the Medicaid expansion, those healthcare facilities are economic engines. And so you can only assume, I mean, because Chinless Mitch is not a moron. Chinless Mitch knows what he's doing. So what do they plan to replace a sixth of the economy with. Kind of at a loss. And so I come back to that question again. What is it that the Republicans want Democrats to compromise over? Because the lines are pretty clearly drawn at this point. Either the Republicans get their way, 22 million people lose their health care, 10,000 or more die outright, or we move over to something a little more sane and a little more manageable than what the Affordable Care Act was. I remember way back when we were talking about the Affordable Care Act in its infancy, the argument being made that maybe it was going to wind up being an object lesson that the only way to go was some sort of Medicare for all coverage program. Maybe that is, in fact, how it all plays out. Because that's all that's left. Yesterday morning, I heard some surprisingly intelligent person speaking on that program I have a filthy habit of watching in the morning. And he said the problem that the Republicans have is that back in 2009, Barack Obama, instead of pushing for some sort of Democratic Party preferred system, in an effort to get a system through, adopted the Republican plan. And we should probably not lose sight of that as this conversation continues. The Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act was, as whoever it was on that program said, it was the Republican health care plan for the 20 years prior to its being enacted. Back when the insurance industry were running those Henry and June ads or whatever the hell they were against Hillary Care. This was the plan that they advanced. This was the plan that Bob Dole wanted in 1996. And so Barack Obama finally gave them their own plan, which they then had a shit hemorrhage over because it had been provided by, you know, one of those people. Whitelash. And it's not surprising when you can see most of the opposition is coming from the Confederate States. We do remember historically what happened after freed slaves were given the vote, don't you? Some black folks were actually elected to office, to Congress even. And they were elected from states like South Carolina and Alabama. And that was intolerable to the conservative white Christian base. And so they tore the civic fabric of their states to pieces just to make sure that no more people of the wrong skin tone would wind up in Congress or even voting. This is the same thing 120, 130 years later. People aggrieved by the fact that a health care plan was enacted while a black man was in the White House are willing to absolutely and utterly destroy the entire health care system of the United States. Harm themselves, perhaps. so that they could finally say that they had taken away that from that man. But because this is the Affordable Care Act, because it is the Republican plan going all the way back to 1992, they don't have any wiggle room. All they can do is try to tinker with the Affordable Care Act as it exists and hope that it somehow placates the mouth-walking knuckle breathers. On the other side is what a lot of us wanted all along. Some sort of Medicare for all, single payer, universal coverage system. And there are a lot of different varieties all over the world. So it doesn't seem like there's geographically, the necessity for compromise is that there be ground upon which both sides can walk toward a center. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that in this instance, there's no ground. It's two sides facing each other across an abyss. And when the Republicans stare into the abyss, you can bet your ass the abyss is, in fact, staring back. So I've been filibobstering for a while now. And we should probably take a break. If you would like to engage in the conversation, I encourage you and invite you to do so. You know the numbers. The stress line, of course, named after the inimitable Bill Mr. Stress Miller. Well, that's 304-663-4676. 304-663-HORN. The other number, 304-574-8178. And, of course, from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, my account is Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. If you'd like to converse that way, that's fine, too. And if you want to, if you never have before and you'd like to send a contact request, if you do, I'll okay it, you know, as long as you send me some sort of note saying, hey, you know, it's so-and-so, or, you know, I want to chat on the horn, something like this, you know, just so I know that you're not going to try to get me to help you recover your Nigerian millions. Note coming in from Clarity. Public hospitals in Louisiana are almost gone since Katrina. Reconciliation means you never have to say I'm sorry for dry humping until they give in. Yeah, a little jingle, sure. Neoliberal, says Clarity, someone who would have voted for Neil Bush if W hadn't stepped up to get Saddam. Oh, that's even better. Over in the email box, Steve from Georgistan says the situation is a paradox. Baby with the bathwater syndrome. Although, granted, they're probably a small minority, there are people dealing with chronic pain who genuinely need pain meds. they run into problems when they get heartlessly cut off because they are lumped in with cretins who use them for shits and giggles. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs work if you don't have stomach issues, and even then it's been proven NSAIDs are not safe for long-term use. As someone such as yourself that deals with stomach issues, I'm certain you understand the point I'm trying to make. If not abused and under the strict supervision of a qualified doctor, opioids can be a safe source of treatment for chronic pain. I lost a dear friend because of opioid hysteria ignorance. And there is no such thing as an average human. We are not made with cookie cutters. Some people are more prone to become addicted than other people. That plays into it as well. Some people get paid $50 million a year and doctor shop all over Florida and then send the housekeeper out with a cigar box full of money to come home with a cigar box full of pills. My friends! Yeah. I don't listen to that freak. I wonder if he's got anything to say about the opioid crisis. What makes me think no? Oh, well, we are on the way toward our fundraising goal this evening. Things sort of dried up a little bit after we heard from Glenn. But $160 to go in fundraising for the evening. Hopefully we'll get there. Stay on track to the end of the month. And, well, if you want to talk about this or anything else, by God, jump in. You're mighty welcome to. It is, of course, a Tuesday. That means we've got Brad and Desi and the Green News Report coming up. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There was a woman in Georgia, didn't feel just right. She had fever all day and chills at night. Now things got worse, just a serious bind. In times like this, it takes a medicine style like you not often find. A doctor of the heart and a doctor of the mind.
Yeah. It's Tuesday, June 27, 2017.
We're getting reports of over 100 vehicles which have been completely incinerated.
Nearly 160 people killed in fuel truck explosion in Pakistan. Wildfire evacuations in Spain, sea level rise accelerating faster than predicted, plus hundreds of American mayors pledge to move their cities to renewable energy in 20 years.
All of those pledges and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Boy, it was real beach weather in Phoenix the other day. It was 122. Planes could not take off. Hey, climate deniers, if melting ice caps and rising oceans and pandemics aren't enough to scare you, not being able to leave Phoenix, that should.
That'll do it. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I shouldn't have said that about Phoenix. Well, actually, I didn't say it. Bill Maher did. I apologize on behalf of Bill Maher. Phoenix is a wonderful place.
Yes, it is. And it's hot.
But it's hot. And it's record hot. 120 degrees. Kind of amazing. And summer is only just beginning.
Yes, and it is beginning and bringing heat waves everywhere. A wildfire now threatens a wildlife preserve in Spain amid a record extreme heat wave in Europe. Just days after a massive wildfire killed 63 people in Portugal, next door in Spain, at least 2,000 residents, tourists, and campers have been evacuated from Spain's Doñana National Park due to a fast-moving wildfire driven by high winds and that extreme heat wave. The good news is 15 extremely endangered Iberian lynx were rescued from a crucial captive breeding center located in the park before it was destroyed by the fire. At least 157 people were killed and more than 100 seriously injured in a horrific fire after an oil tanker truck overturned and then exploded in a poor rural region in eastern Pakistan. Fuel is scarce and extremely expensive there, so despite the danger, hundreds of villagers had rushed in to scoop up some of the oil from the estimated 5,000-gallon oil spill. Reports indicate that the conflagration may have been ignited by a lit cigarette or a cell phone spark at the scene. The cause of the fire and the crash are under investigation. Here in the U.S., the Trump administration recently announced that it will grant permits to allow the oil industry to conduct underwater seismic testing for oil and gas deposits in the Atlantic Ocean using underwater sound cannons. Sound cannons are already confirmed to harm large marine mammals like whales and dolphins, but in a first-of-its-kind study on the impact of sound waves on plankton, the tiny marine microorganisms, researchers said they were shocked to find that the sound blasters killed large swaths of plankton as far as a mile away.
And what happens if we kill large swaths of plankton?
Well, plankton are the base of the ocean food chain, which feeds the commercial fishing industry. And plankton also happens to generate nearly half of the oxygen we breathe in the atmosphere.
Yeah, well, you can't monetize oxygen. Oil, on the other hand.
Sea level rise is accelerating because of global warming, which we already knew. But the rate that it is accelerating is itself accelerating, and it's doing it sooner than expected. That is new. UN scientists had already predicted the rate of sea level rise would speed up around mid-century, but now an international team of researchers says that that time may have already arrived. The culprit is Greenland, where ice is melting into the ocean five times faster now than in the 1990s. Different studies are reaching slightly different rates, but all of these sea level rise studies indicate coastal cities have much less time to prepare than previously thought.
Well, now, I've already apologized to Phoenix. I think you owe an apology to Greenland. They're not the culprit. They're really the victim. Are they not?
That's true. Global warming is the culprit.
You're welcome.
But not great news. Coal production is up slightly in 2017, despite dropping by the largest percentage on record just last year. That's according to a new analysis by the Associated Press, which finds that the world's biggest coal users, China, India, and the United States, produced 6% more coal in 2017. Industry experts say that increase is due primarily to changes in policy in China and India, but they said it doesn't change their long-term negative outlook for coal. But finally, some good news. Hundreds of mayors gathered at the U.S. Conference of Mayors in Miami on Monday, passed a resolution supporting the goal of moving their cities to 100% clean, renewable energy by 2035, less than 20 years, declaring that if the federal government won't act on climate change, they will keep moving on climate action.
And as of right now, no, the federal government will not move on climate change. It is up to the states and the cities and the mayors.
And the people.
To get this job done. Thank you. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Minutes past the hour. We are rapidly approaching the halfway mark of the program this evening. It is Titanic Tuesday, and Titanic Tuesday would not be Titanic Tuesday without some manifestation of Titanic intellect on the part of some God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Republican somewheres. And lucky for us, we've got more than one Republican. But still, this one, I mean, every now and then you get a real restaurant quality version. And this is that. We're talking about Representative Francis Rooney from Florida, Stan. Who is one of those members of the House who thinks that it's a matter of patriotism, by God, to take health care away from a few tens of millions of Americans and condemn a few thousands, you know, to death. If they've got a personal relationship with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're just going to go to heaven anyway. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? Right? Well, Chris Jansing over at MSNBC got representing Rooney to come on and explain to people, the stupid people, why it is that 22, 23 million Americans don't need health care, and a few tens of, a few thousands, a couple of tens of thousands maybe, need to, go hurry up and meet Jesus.
You don't have any concerns about premiums going up?
Let's get it all. I didn't have the button pushed.
Insurance is provided to people for medical.
You don't have any concerns about premiums going up?
I think if we can bring choice, selection, and competition back into the non-group policy market through this tax credits, and that premiums will go down and deductibles will go down. It doesn't do any good to have low premiums. The deductibles are so high that people can't use the insurance.
You say you think it will, but what...
Oh, okay, so that's a true statement. A health insurance policy with a $10,000 deductible is the same thing as no insurance for all practical purposes. And so even if you're paying relatively little money for it, you're paying relatively little money for something that gives you absolutely nothing in return. Okay, I can get on board with that. You probably can too.
What is the confidence level? Because there is a slew of analyses, and you know that they're out there, that suggest the exact opposite of what you're saying. And in fact, those who would be hurt the most are those who would, in fact, be those who have the most difficulty, the poor, the elderly, the people most in need of the help that Obamacare provides.
You know what all those lay about, no good Alzheimer's patients need to do? Get a job. They need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and go out there with their walkers and what have you, and maybe get a job, at, you know, being a greeter at a store or something, or maybe a cashier, or you know, how about maybe working the line at, say, McDonald's or something? Because you know what? That's what our problem is in America. We've just become too goddamn lazy. Oh, yeah, see, that's it. Do you know how many fakers there are who are just laying around eating up government money, pretending they can't remember anything? Millions. Millions. When we all know damn good and well what they're really all about.
Well, see, we need to focus on the two distinct aspects of the overhaul. One is the insurance for people that will buy the insurance that people will buy through the tax credit program, who are above the poverty multiplier, and then there's the Medicaid reform. Both are two distinct issues, and that.
Well, okay. As long as we understand they're two distinct issues, then. We should, okay, do y'all understand that it's two distinct issues? Because that's what it is. It's two distinct issues. There's a difference between Medicaid, which is your poors and your working poors, and people who are participating in the real economy and not laying around pretending to have Alzheimer's.
Have favorable outcomes under the House bill.
If the CBO score comes out on this Senate bill and suggests the same thing that the CBO score on the House bill showed, which is that millions of Americans would lose their health care under...
And that, by the way, has happened.
...for this bill, you still would support it.
Absolutely, I would. Remember that the voodoo economics of the CBO score was faulty the first time around, and the Wall Street Journal covered that very well. You know, it assumes that nobody will buy insurance unless they're mandated to by a statist system like Obamacare.
Ding, 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 ding. Dog whistle moment. Dog whistle moment. We just found out about everything we could ever possibly want to know about representing... Francis Rooney of Florida, Stan. Because when you use that word statist, that pretty much gives you up as a hardcore anarcho-randian libertarian jackass. That's the word. Yeah, jackass. Yeah, that's the Francis Rooney libertarian jackass sound effect. If they're not forced to by a statist, these are the same dickheads who say things like confiscatory taxation. I don't know if you saw it. I did because Bob in Texas sent it along to me. Tom Tomorrow. I get such a kick out of it. Bob in Texas sent it along to me. The conversation between the Penguin and the ubiquitous right-wing Republican. Senate Republicans are trying to ram their terrible health care bill through with as little debate as possible. 23 million Americans could lose their health, their coverage. Oh, come on. You can almost hear this in Francis Rooney's voice, can't you? Oh, come on. People can always go to the emergency room. Right, because no one has to foot the bill for that. Well, anyway, what do you propose for people with long-term illnesses who need chemo or some other costly ongoing treatment? No problem. They can set up a crowdfunding campaign on GoFundMe. So you're suggesting that the best way to deal with a medical catastrophe is to ask strangers to help pay the bills? Exactly. Okay, so what if there was some sort of national ongoing GoFundMe campaign to which everyone contributed regularly, the proceeds from which would cover anyone in need of health care? Whoa, let's not get carried away. What if my money went to someone I didn't personally find deserving enough? Excellent point. I don't know what I was thinking. Because, see, if we could have, if the Republicans could have like an individual vote on everybody who needed health care in this country, well, then they could, they could just look at what color the person's skin was and they could have an up or down vote and decide whether or not that person got health care. Democracy! Yay! Asa says, but Bob, which is a different gimmick, cut representing Rooney some slack. There are a lot of diverse urban people in Merca who are going to be weighing the health care system down if they have affordable access to it. And they'll only have that if there's some sort of statist plan. You know, when you hear one of these right-wing freaks say statist, you can almost hear the goose, little tiny goose-stepping boots inside their heads. Because that's what it is, you know, to them. I mean, I remember when a jackass, right-wing jackass ran for office here in West Virginia and declared that not being able to smoke in a building he by God owned was the same thing as being herded into a cattle car and driven off to the death camps. Yeah. A skewed sense of priorities, to say the very least. Let's get back to representing Rooney, shall we?
Does it give any credit for behavioral modification and incentive through the tax credits?
Hold on. We're going to have to go back and get the entirety of that, because we're going to have us some behavioral modification. I love it when they start talking about that, because their social Darwinist eugenic streak begins to shine. You see, if you're a white male Republican, you were invested at birth by Almighty God with the ability to tell who deserves health care and who doesn't, who deserves to live, who deserves to die. Who deserves access to the political process? Who does not? And I'm sure that representing Rooney there has never had, you know, lips that touch liquor shall never touch his. Your lips? No, my liquor. No, I'm sure the man's never had a drink. Never at any point in time did he smoke a cigarette or honk on a cigar or put in a rub of snuff. No. He's never had one cup of coffee too many. Mm-mm. He's never had extra dessert. He's never chosen to have, say, ham and eggs instead of a proper breakfast of gluten-free, free-range, cage-free, cruelty-free, GMO quinoa and tofu and yogurt for breakfast. Nah, he's never, no, he's never, no, nothing like that. No.
first time around, and the Wall Street Journal covered that very well. You know, it assumes that nobody will buy insurance unless they're mandated to by a statist system like Obamacare. Doesn't give any credit for behavioral modification and incentive through the tax credits. It also takes does not take into account the ability of governors to lead and redirect Medicaid in their states the way Medicaid was intended to be.
You know, redirected to political cronies who won't do a damn thing about people's health care needs. Sure. You bet. I love these people. It's like they live on a world where they don't even need to breathe oxygen. Now, I'm sure this fucker doesn't need clean water or clean air or anything like that either. Statist plan like Obamacare, because we all know he was a Kenyan Muslim, you slurper Nazi commie. Damn right, we suffered for 8 long years. Sure. And people don't understand what the tax credits are going to do. And incentivizing good behavior, like, well, you know, under the plan that he voted for, you're incentivized to not be old. Because old people get charged a shitload more money for coverage than young people do. Well, that's an incentive not to get old. Somewhere in the great beyond, Keith Moon is cackling, "Hope I die before I get old." I bet afterlife keep Keith Moon would, no, I think I would have been more fun to keep it, but no.
It's a primarily a state-oriented benefit with some subsidy from the federal government, not vice versa.
You cite the Wall Street Journal. Let me cite the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, which says this is basically a bill that makes sure that the wealthy get tax cuts. The savings, a lot of it is expected to go in this bill toward tax cuts. And in fact, what the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities found is that $7 million a year is the tax a year that each of the 400 wealthiest families in America will get as a result of this. That's okay with you as people are losing their coverage?
Sure, because they wouldn't be 400 of the wealthiest people in the United States if God didn't already love them. God wants them to have that $7 million. Just think of what economic engines they'll be with that $7 million in their pocket. Why they could go out and buy stuff that they couldn't buy before, because that $7 million, well, they'll be able to. I mean, they, because so much of their income is taken up in, you know, beans and rice. That $7 million, though, I mean, they might be able to. Well, hell, they might buy one of them little bitty Fiats or something and go toddling down the road and provide economic stimulus for all of us out here.
See, I happen to think that tax cuts on it to stimulate investments, which is what this tax cut is. It's Obama put in a tax on investments. Cutting those taxes are very important to stimulate investments and job creation. I mean, sometimes these people don't seem to understand how capitalism works. When you incentivize investment, people deploy capital, create jobs, build companies, and put more people to work so they can afford all these things and not have to be on Medicaid.
Oh, okay. That's it. That explains everything. The only reason that people are on Medicaid is they aren't properly incentivized to understand capitalism. Well, hell, why didn't you say so in the first place? Let's all have a big old tax cut and incentivize some investment and create some jobs and, oh, wait, that's only for 400 people. Right. Note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Ron says, funny you should mention it. A fellow that works at my local Kroger is doing a GoFundMe campaign for money to pay for his pancreatic cancer treatment. This fellow's a long-term employee and a union member. I guess getting a job isn't necessarily the route to health care being available. Or, and I don't know the particulars of this fellow's circumstance, Ron, sometimes having health care ain't enough. I remember back before the Affordable Care Act was passed, medical bankruptcies in this country went through the roof. Yeah. And a lot of those medical bankruptcies were from people who already had health care coverage but were getting slaughtered by the copays and the deductibles. And I'm not going to kid anybody. I've got, if you can't laugh about it, then fuck it, go home. I'm not talking about what Ron's talking about. I joke about the yogurt, and I laugh about it. And I joke about my non-diet. But the fact of the matter is, as I've told y'all before, last I checked, I am apparently in need of something on the order of $250,000 worth of surgery. Well, it ain't going to happen. It's simply not going to happen. So I have, in the words of Representing Rooney, been incentivized. If I just don't eat a lot of food, and if I don't eat any particular foods, then maybe I won't be in constant pain for which I can't get any relief in the first place because I might turn into an opioid addict, and we wouldn't want that now, would we? Because it's far better for me to be in hellish pain than be an opioid addict and out there buying street fentanyl. And I'm not making light. I'm not. That's the way they think now. Oh, well, yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. You can't have anything. No, you can't have pain relief. If we gave you pain relief, God only knows what you might do. Not have pain or something. And then you'd be an addict, and we'd have to write you another script. And when you went through that, we'd have to write you another script. And when you went through that, we'd have to write you another script. And, well, goddamn, after a while, we might get a cramp in our hand from writing all them scripts. No, Bob, just remember, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, suffered a hell of a lot more than you ever have with your little old bellyache. He knew what real pain was. So why don't you just think about the suffering of Christ and quit thinking about yourself so damn much? But I thought about, all kidding aside, I thought about a crowdfunding campaign to try to be able to afford to go and, go to the Mayo Clinic and get the surgery they think they want me to have. But do you know what the odds are of raising $250,000? You know how many GoFundMe campaigns are fucking out there right now? I mean, the ability of the American people to cough up $5 for this and $5 for that, somewhere along the way, that has to become a finite number. And we just got done with a political campaign that sucked billions out of people's pockets. I know of a campaign going on right now of somebody that I know and think highly of. His son had a catastrophic accident a week or two back. Massive head injury. And they had health insurance. The young man had health insurance. But there are tens of thousands of dollars in unpaid bills. Hell, the Life Flight helicopter ride from Fayette County to Charleston, you know, something on the order of 50 miles, was $50,000. It's $1,000 a mile. I can cipher that in a hurry. Even me. Devin adds in, you know, maybe some of us, if we were to have less pain, we might be able to go back to work. You know, just thought. Well, but, you know, pain is a tool. Pain is a teacher. Yeah. I mean, representing Rooney, he doesn't have to worry about any pain now, does he? Hell no. No, of course not. So it's not just uncovered people that get screwed. It's people who have coverage and suffer mightily just trying to keep the bills paid. Note coming from Matt in San Francisco. Is it just me? Have you noticed that when Democrats are in power, all the TV political talk shows have mostly Republicans on and claim it's giving a voice to the minority party? Then when the Republicans are in charge, the same shows have mostly Republicans on because they're the ones in power and making the decisions. It's almost as if there's a concerted effort to silence one party's message. Heads I win, tails you lose. Nice racket they got going. I actually have noticed that. It's not just you, Matt. Yeah, although every now and then they do invite, say, Angus King on that program that I watch in the morning. Or hell, they even had Al Franken on. Now, I realize that neither Al Franken nor Angus King are anywhere near politically pure enough for to be really taken seriously. I mean, they've got they're so damn human. I mean, they don't agree with everything I think, so therefore they really don't have anything important to say, even if it sounds like it is, even if it sounds like it makes sense. So, you know, right. And James says, what about the yacht builders? You know, I got a soft spot for yachts, at least the sailing ones. And I know for a fact that, you know, there are some actual real jobs in the yacht industry. People who feed families building those things and providing the stuff that one needs in order to maintain one. So I guess we could just as well say, what about the Bugatti builders or the Lamborghinis? Right? Or the Lotuses, or the Aston Martins, or the McLarens. I read a story earlier today that said the 500 new Ford GTs, people had to apply to see if Ford thought they were worthy of owning one. And all of the people listed who Ford deemed worthy, oddly enough, were people I had never heard of. Yeah, go figure. Capitalism with a worthiness test. It measured in wealth, of course, because these things cost a blue bajillion dollars. Let's run down Florida way over on the stress line and see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Hey.
It's Scary Jerry.
Hey.
How the hell are you, Bob? I heard you talking, and you know what? I have to roll a joint, Bob. I did.
I'm going to pat myself on the back for that.
Because I was like, damn, Bob, I was the first one who told you about Ben like 3 years ago. Do you remember that conversation?
I do.
I said it was coming. Huh?
I do, actually.
And I sounded like a wild, conspiratorial, crazy person when I brought it up because nobody could even spell the word then.
But it's here.
Here we are. Here we are. Hey, when I was a little kid, I was raised in a post-apocalyptic religion that painted us as actually the bad guys, and our version of church is, some reverse-ass Jedi Satanism. And you know what? Hey, damned if it's not the truth, Bob. How can you tell 22 million people, get the fuck off and die? Just die.
Well, first of all, they create a sort of fantasy intellectual space where they tell themselves over and over again that's not what they're saying. And then they've got enablers out there like the Evan Siegfried guy that I mentioned yesterday, who said, you know, it doesn't help the discussion of a bad bill to use such coarse tone. Well, what does he want to say, that the bill will send 10,000 people out to expire? Is that better tone?
I'm going to take it deeper. And, you know, if you go to the emergency room, you break a bone or something like that, they don't even want to give you an Advil anymore. They want to toss you for the plants in your pocket, whatever the fuck they are. And we're in a shiny police state incepted by the drug war to save the children. We're in that dystopia, man. That's where we're at. And the fucked up thing is that, you know why fentanyl's killing people? Because Americans can't do math, Bob.
Yeah, they can't measure out the dose?
Yeah. Americans can't do metric math. And to be honest with you, and I'm talking from a slightly different side of things. I don't trust a guy with big wheels and big stereo system and a car that bounces around to measure microgram doses. Just, it's going to go bad. You follow me?
Actually, I do. Because remember me, I'm the guy who doesn't cipher real good.
We stopped teaching technical things in this country 20 years ago. I have been really high since Trump got elected. Not on the fentanyl. I hate the opiates. I really just maybe it's
well. That makes two of us, Jerry. Because I've had pain medication when it was absolutely necessary. It was that, or you know, just scream. And I've never found the upside on those things. Now I can talk about the upside of four or five good glasses of beer, or the upside of a really nicely rolled doobie, all day long.
I'm gonna lay it down for you real deep. The best painkiller out of them all is diacetylmorphine, which is heroin. Problem with that is it has a bit of a euphoria problem. And we're in a Calvinist society who doesn't. We shut things down because it may cause euphoria. Do you realize that, Bob? This is the nightmare we live in.
Yeah, you can't have a bunch of people wandering around feeling all euphoric.
And the scarier thing is, they launched this. Opiate thing is state level. Everybody's oped out, and half the pills people are getting now are fake. Just wrap your mind around that for a second. They don't give a fuck. They don't care to vote. They don't care the shit that's on TV. They don't care if, you know, somebody walks in and kills their stepkids over some argument. They don't care about all the shit that's going on around them. There's no empathy. I'm going to go ahead and disclaimer the next part to these conversations. This didn't happen. This all came from my addled mind, and the rest of this got this whole conversation fiction. Ignore it all, Agent Fred. When they got rid of anything that would cause empathy, because the Chinese chemists are nasty. They're the best chemists. They make the German chemists from 7 years ago just look stupid. They're that good. Of course, you know, we uploaded all our shit to them in the late 90s, didn't we?
I believe. That was part of the deal, really.
It was the blowjob thing. Oh, blowjob. Okay, I'll let you sell the secrets to China. Germany didn't do that to China. That was the Republicans again. And then when all the jobs, you know, disappeared, they're like, get a fucking job. Really? All the fucking jobs are gone. And the scariest thing is, I was having this whole global warming thing, because I live in the swamp, actually, and in one of the most fun cities in the world, in South Beach, they're actually trying to raise the land. I was like, you know how much it costs to raise land 6 fucking inches? What the fuck are we doing? Do you know how much that costs?
I would imagine it's probably pricey, just 6 inches.
Just 6 inches. And that's just for the next 5 years, because 5 years after that, you're going to have to do some shit again. We're going to have to, do, you know, in South Miami, they're going to have to, like, do, like, in Amsterdam, just pump that shit out, because it's happening right now. You drive down in a month, and you'll go through a water puddle called the ocean. Right on the roadway.
Well, you know, our buddy Jay Cruzen has first. We've had our disagreements in the recent past, but he has firsthand knowledge of climate change because he, you know, works in electricity down there. And you know, he sees the what are they called, the mega tides or giant tides or hell tides or something like that. And you know, boom, Florida water, the Fort Lauderdale. Turns into, you know, Venice, Italy.
Yeah, except it won't happen slow. You know, your climate can change in a night. You get a Category 5 or a Category 6, which is actually a thing right now. There are Category 6 hurricanes. You look at a map and you see something all black with red lines. That's going about 200 miles an hour for like 5-6 hours. Not a couple minutes like a tornado.
No, it raises no small amount of hell. Yeah.
I mean, the point is that I have 2 points to bring. I have so much I want to talk. You need a Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Ethereum address as soon as fucking possible, and people can just send you random money, and through time it goes up over time. Because you need computers, man. I knew your fucking sound machine was blowing out 2 weeks ago. I could hear it.
Yeah, it was on the way out. Fortunately, we're making progress, and all I have to do is get a little smarter, and this thing will sound great. Sounds pretty good already.
And you need a juicer. Can't eat nothing anyway.
That's true.
Give it a try, Bob. 30 days.
Yeah, just
get a juicer, fruits in the morning, vegetables at night.
I could probably actually talk myself into that. I'm already doing, I ran through it, but protein smoothies, and those things were quite effective. 42 grams of protein first thing in the morning, and you're ready to go.
And I think you're going to be seeing less and less meat. But anyways, you need an address, just one of those, so people can send you money, because fuck PayPal. That's really the thing there. They're a bunch of right-wing Nazis as well. We're at fucking war. We're at a cold civil war right now. I was in my kitchen. I said, you know what we need? We need the 60s again. Not the burning shit down, although I'm sure the burning shit down is coming, the drugs part, where people open up their minds a little bit, because that's also what's...
Well, you know who Bill Hicks was, right, Jerry?
Yes.
What was that one classic bit that he used to do about acid where he said, what if people... took a substance that made them understand that everything is illusion and that the only thing that matters in the world is love, and that, you know, war is counterproductive, and back to Bill in the Weather Center, you know?
Actually, it's deeper than that. The God I worship is a chemical. God has a chemical gospel. Because that's the only thing you can't abrogate, really. One out of every six plants gives you some kind of psychedelic experience. Did you know that? One out of every six. I think it may be one out of four.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It is the hardest thing in the universe to actually catch a buzz because the brain tries to normalize constantly. So for something to go through the blood-brain barrier and actually do something, it's not an accident. And it's really weird that everyone who has, well, like, shared telepathic experiences, they're all on the same frequency, on whatever they are. It happens. The last thing this thing we're in, I can't even call it a government or a country or anything, this is crazy, man, is they want you to stop and think. I mean, Yeshua or Jesus or whatever you want to call him, I think there has to be some level of truth to it because he was a broke-ass guy. Nobody talks about broke people 2,000 years later. That's the thing that swings me the other way. He said, hey, you know what? Here's how you get in heaven. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart. And the only checklist on the last day is, did you help someone hungry? Not, did you wear a fucking hat? Not what day you went to church. Not, did you do the dance? Or no, did you help a hungry person? When they were sick, did you take care of them?
Did you visit them
when
in prison?
They were in pain.
Did you give them clothing when they were naked? Because if you did all those things, you were doing it to me. And if you didn't do it, you weren't doing it to me.
That's it. Everything else is bullshit or ritual or things you want to add on. And to be quite frank, if you realize that psychedelics have always existed through our human experience, and they were usually kept for the royals. I know a guy currently walking around. He got caught with about 2.2 pounds of Colombian marching powder. And he's still walking around 6 years later. The power of lawyers, some Jedi lawyers. I also know a guy who got caught with like 20 strips of acid. He's gone for 20 years. No conversation, no deals, no nothing. There's a pattern there. And the pattern is, if you wake people up, they're going to put you in the deepest parts of the beast. And that's what needs to happen right now, because everyone's asleep, and it's all flying apart. Not slowly anymore, but quickly.
Well, it reminds me of, who was it, Wordsworth or Blake or somebody who said, the falcon cannot hear the falconer, the center cannot hold. I mean, there are aspects to that, and I keep asking I am not. Jerry, I am not an apocalypticist, but it's hard for me to look at things and wonder. Well, look, okay, the Republican Party had a collective shit hemorrhage a couple of weeks ago when Steve Scalise got shot, not killed, just shot. Because I personally believe they were saying, "Uh-oh," so they've caught up to us, they figured us out. And now they're pissed because I am not sanctioning violence. I am not suggesting violence. I'm not giving my approval to violence. I abhor all of those things. But we are a country who has been inculcated that for all the high-minded, highfalutin, high-toned talk about nonviolence. We've been inculcated to believe that violence is what gets shit done.
Bob, we sent robots to kill babies in their beds. And the president just says, hey, you guys okay? Okay, there's no oversight. Nobody's watching anything, Bob. It's all running backwards.
Frightening, isn't it?
And this is just... We gotta stop getting kicked in the ass and balls and go, hey, no, this is what we're doing today. Positively, we're gonna take care of ourselves.
we're going to start our own financial networks. There's a law in Oregon that they don't want weed growers to have Bitcoin because they're legalizing it, but they don't allow them into the banking system. Well, the current rise of Bitcoin was fueled by weed for the first 3-4 months. Absolutely true. So, yeah.
Well, that is a learning curve, Jerry, that I have not been able to negotiate so far.
Actually, you don't trade them; just collect them, Bob. It's easier to send you $5 via Bitcoin than anywhere else.
But then, what do I do with them?
If you get sizably big enough, PayPal could go fuck this guy. Then what are you going to do? You're fucked.
Yeah.
And PayPal does that kind of shit. That's what they do. PayPal vaporizes people's money, and then you got to take 6 months to prove it's yours. Did you know that? And they will do it over politics.
They might.
No, not they. Well, they haven't.
They haven't yet. Let me put it that way. They haven't yet.
Here's the other thing I was going to come up with on my own. I'm going to publicize your show. So when we get to 100,000 people, maybe I'll charge you for it.
When we get to 100,000
wasters in the past.
When we get to 100,000 people, we'll talk.
Yeah. There's a couple podcasts I love. I grew up loving radio. The whole model is broken right now. And the hardest thing to do is get paid. It's a different thing. Honestly, I think you could use a cool hat or two. Nothing from the Koch brothers or anything like that, but a cool shampoo or some honey or whatever. Hell yeah. Peer-reviewed and open source. No funny business.
Yeah.
But yeah, 30 years ago, I sold advertising out of a phone book to random-ass people with a prize attached, and the part I locked onto was the actual advertising. Because I've always believed that there's something cool on the other side of the planet that you just don't know because you haven't heard about it yet. I found out about your show trying to listen to Mike. Found out about Mike from, what was that, Air America. What is that, almost 20 years ago?
And then before that, IE America. I've been chasing Malloy around the dial since 1987.
The thing I can do about Trump is I can tell more people about your show instead of bitching about Trump. Because then we can all sit around and bitch about him on a nightly basis, and it'll be cool. It's been an idea that's been bugging me for a while, and none of the podcasts I listen to, I want to go because they're all left-leaning, they're all hysterical. And you guys are all like members of my family, and I happen to be in a media area. That's influential. I've been kind of looking for a new hustle as well, as it were.
Well, let's not put 3 years between phone calls, Jerry.
I listen to you every night, and although I got to admit, I've been tuning out at 8 because on Heroes and Icons, they start 6 hours of Star Trek, and I realize I've been cocooning with the Star Trek as well. And I'm like, oh shit, we're never gonna have Star Trek Land, are we? We're never gonna do warp drive. We're never gonna.
It's interesting you bring that up because I was reading a story the other day about the new series that's coming up, and they have consciously decided to violate one of Gene Roddenberry's fundamental tenets of the Star Trek universe.
No infighting.
No conflict between the standard cast characters. So now we're going to have some drama.
Well, here's the thing though. My roommate, I made her a Star Trek fan, and we kind of sheepishly admitted, you know what? The worst series out of all is The Next Generation. And that's the one Roddenberry had the most. He was there on the set every day. We're going to do it this way. We couldn't do it this way 20 years ago, so that's how we're doing it right now. And the first 4 seasons, until he died, sucked. Except for the Borg thing. I could do a Borg episode every night.
orchestrate.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not entirely with you on that. There was some fun there. Of course, I'm a weirdo. I liked Enterprise.
Enterprise is the best one out of them all.
I like the idea. I like the idea that it was hard to get along with the Vulcans.
I like the idea that the whole thing was hard. Like, you know, the first time they go out into the space and see some shit. And it breaks them.
Yeah, we are not ready for this shit.
It breaks them. They're like, well, you mean just random ass temporal distortions in the ship and fucking up the ship? What do you do about that? Or when Archer goes, you know what? I need a warp drive, and y'all got a warp drive. Yoink. I was like, wow. Maybe Janeway, that's about it. I don't even think Kirk would have done that.
but that one got all screwed up too.
Huh?
They screwed that one up too. How many? What it last? Four seasons? Five maybe?
Which one? Voyager?
No. Enterprise.
Nobody was watching it because there's too much star. I think they could start right where they left off and people would watch it because I think it was they had the best special effects. Everything looks old and cheesy, which. You know, none of this exists. That's a hell of a, they had writing, too. That's the other thing. The other joke me and my roommate make about the old series, the original series, like, oh, they had a budget this one. That's what makes the old series, they can all sit in a room and tell a science fiction tale. Shake the camera a little bit and you could buy it.
Look, consider where, not only Roddenberry, but if I understand correctly, most of the main players came from not Nimoy and Shatner, but didn't Jimmy Doohan and DeForest Kelly, weren't they bit players in Westerns?
They were. I didn't know.
Roddenberry.
I knew Scotty was an actual military type dude.
And Roddenberry said that he was writing a Western in space. And then a few years later, well, decades later, along comes Firefly?
Yeah.
And that is a Western in space. So, I mean, I love, you know, going all the way back, I love Joseph Campbell's The Power of Myth.
The who?
Joseph Campbell,
The
Power of Myth.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And because you can take it and transpose it into things like, you know, Star Trek. Or, for that matter, Gunsmoke.
By the same token, you ever read Foundation?
Foundation. No. I read all of that stuff as a teenager, and sometimes I go back and revisit it just to see if it is as profound as I thought it was when I was, you know, 13.
It stands up to it, doesn't it?
Foundation, yes, the Foundation does. Some of the Heinlein libertarian crap falls apart. But, since we're talking about it, I guess there's going to be a full-scale, full-on production of Stranger in a Strange Land.
They're going to do that?
Yeah. I read that somewhere not too long back.
Huh.
It'll be interesting, and of course I mentioned the other night, and I got an IMDb link. I'm still waiting to see what happens to Altered Carbon. Did you ever read that?
I haven't. Have you read Neuromancer?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. They need to do a Neuromancer first before they do Stranger in a Strange Land.
But Altered Carbon would be worth your time. In fact, all three books in that trilogy are worth your time.
I'm gonna read that. I haven't read a book in years with like pages. I'm gonna actually go get something with pages. I'm gonna kick over the guy OD'ing on heroin in the library and go, "Hey, wake up!" That's a joke. And read a fucking book.
Well, I mean, you were talking about the dystopian aspects to current society. You can almost see the through line from present dystopia to that dystopia, and of course he acknowledges all the inspiration from other you know, everything from Philip K. Dick to Heinlein to it's all there. And, you know, Neuromancer, for that matter.
Hell, I'm excited about the new Blade Runner. I know it's going to suck, but I won't be able to stop watching.
I know.
I'm excited about Han Solo being done by Ron Howard, as God intended. Yeah. Did you know that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's exciting. He can't fuck that up.
Don't say can't. I mean, he can't.
No,
but,
he can't make that movie.
He can't, but the studio can.
Yeah, it's Ron Howard. They're going to listen to him. And do what he says.
Well, Jerry, it's awful good talking to you. I'm going to, you've got the phones lighting up.
Bob,
so I'm gonna
go do that Bob thing. We need you to do that Bob thing. And I'm just going to point people your way.
Well, I would appreciate that. And tell them not to be afraid to dial in, because we have a hell of a good time in the conversation part of conversation radio.
We need about 200 people to get one call usually. But if you're going to charge anything for advertising, you need people. So that the first part you work on is the people.
Yeah. And then we find the people that we want to advertise for. Right.
Yeah, well, they'll, I've seen the progression. You get big enough and people find you. And, I have removed all ads from my life, but I'll take a recommendation from one of the podcasts and go do what they said. I got two stories to tell you, then I got to go. I'll make them quick.
All right.
Neil Rogers was the guy who invented eating on the radio like a slop. And his management team just screamed and yelled and threw chairs. What are you doing? It sounds awful. It's unprofessional. But what would happen was if like Joey's Pizza, for instance, delivered something at 11:30, and Neil was just saying, you're making those, oh, my God, it's so good. Joey's Pizza, you couldn't get a pizza there for the next week. It was brilliant. And it worked. Neil would only endorse something that was good. If he hated you, he'd burn your ground down in your whole neighborhood. He'd go on for a week about how bad you were. But if he says, oh, my God, the little hamburgers at Royal Castle, which is a White Castle copy that we had down there, he started a craze. He kept them in business for 10 years. So if it's good, you do it. If it sucks, fuck it.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of power in the on-air mention.
Yeah.
Especially sincerely offered.
Yeah, no, not everybody. Nobody has time for fake anymore. Take care of yourself, Bob. Eat a salad. Seriously.
I had one just the other day.
Get a juicer. I love you. Love the audience. Take care of yourselves. We're bigger and better than this.
Absolutely. Jerry, you take care. Don't make it another 3 years, all right?
All right.
All right, later.
Take care, man.
Bye now. Calling from South Florida. I do remember the conversation 3 years ago, and Jerry's out there listening every night. Okay, over to the Skype line. Oh, by the way, thank you. Thank you very kindly to Robert in Australia, who re-upped his subscription this evening. That actually takes us down to only needing 9 more people to have 13 subscribers on this particular day. And that takes us down to only $130 to go in fundraising for the evening. Thank you, Robert. Robert also had a note. It's one of those cultural disconnect moments. Subject line, let me get this right. So this small number of extremely rich people who already have great piles of money aren't investing in creating new companies and jobs because why? They need a tax cut before they'll invest in new companies that will create jobs? And why? So the last time this small number of people who already have great piles of money were given a tax cut, how many new companies and jobs did they create? That new companies and jobs in the USA, that is, not in Mexico or China. Must be awful to have a mansion and a yacht and great piles of money, but not be able to invest in new companies to create jobs because you don't have 6 mansions and 12 yachts yet. I've said it before, if capitalism was the answer, everyone in the USA would already have the best medical care in the world. in a big way, the cowbell there, Robert. Yeah, it's almost like a hostage situation, isn't it? Give us the money you were going to use to pay for people's health care, or the economy gets it. Nice little economy you got going there. Be a shame if something happened to it. We have a conflict now. I said I enjoyed Star Trek Enterprise. Ron and Raleigh goes, early Enterprise, really? They crapped all over canon. Angry, bigoted Vulcans, really? Enterprise doesn't hit a stride until the final season, season 3, when it returns to canon. Rockne O'Bannon came in too late to save the show. Discovery's going to take place outside original canon in the Kelvin universe. Fucking Les Moonves. Well, see, I didn't see the Vulcans as necessarily being non-canonical. In the TNG movie, when they land, of course, that then again, there's some non-canonical in that too. They're kind of baffled. But if you were a completely rational species and you ran up against us, wouldn't there be some conflict? Wouldn't there be some trust issues? And wouldn't you maybe look down the noses, you know, at us? And us, well, you know, we're not that far removed from squabbling with the buzzards for what the weasels didn't want. It's bound to have conflict. But anyway, I also thought the cast was just pretty darn good in terms of acting, too. But that's me. Okay, over to the Skype line. And Scott in San Diego alongside Engineer Punky.
Yes, First Officer Punky is actually in the other room talking to his little buddy in the mirror in the bathroom.
Ah, okay.
A couple of things, Uncle Bob. First of all, Jerry really kind of inspired part of this call with the way the topic was going with you and Jerry. But I wanted to catch up on something from yesterday where you were wondering about the religious people being unable to recall or recognize the business of love, as noted in 1 Corinthians.
Yes.
And, you know, it's either not there, or if it is, it's being willfully overlooked. And the deal remains the same as it's always been. Human suffering is neither noble or inevitable. It exists because we permit it to happen. Quite often, religious, political, and business forces encourage suffering as it serves to help further their ends, interests, and purposes. And that's pretty much it, except when there are exceptions, but they are pretty rare. They are rare as a call from Jerry is rare, you know?
And at 3 years, those are pretty rare.
Yeah. Okay, so that was that. The other thing you were talking about, what would the reaction be if Vulcans were to encounter you didn't use this word, but I'll go ahead and say it, human beings, obviously an inferior race by and large. What would the Vulcan reaction be? What would they do?
I think they'd be on their little Vulcan spaceship chanting, build that wall.
That would be a later response. I think the earliest response, being as Vulcans are rather logical, okay, and good and straight thinking, I would think the first thing that they would do is get their scientists and engineers and people together to come up with a fulcrum device or a pulley or a wedge or something in order to, on a mass global basis, pry the heads of all these human beings out of their own assholes. You know, that to me would be job one, to quote an old Ford commercial. But who knows? Now, the inspiration that I got from Jerry talking about hallucinogenic substances, is that my phone or your phone? I'm hearing
I'm not. I mean, I'm. There's a little bit of, but nothing.
No.
That I hear.
Okay.
I think that's
well,
you.
It's still. Yeah. Well, whatever. See, I inadvertently there was an update from Skype, the app for the mobile phone, and without thinking, I went ahead and upgraded it. Not upgraded it, but got the newer version. Whatever. I guess it's upgrading. But I don't like the layout, and apparently it now Skype now comes with a handy feature to annoy the hell out of both of us.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I think I'm on the speaker. Wait a minute. That's not right. I can't tell what these. What,
well, you're
these
you're points. Okay, except for that one brief moment of. You're
okay.
Okay.
Well, we'll leave it be. I can hear it, and you can't, but that's all right. It's flashbacks. That's what it is. But Jerry was talking about the beneficial aspects of hallucinogens. And I read a couple of books some years ago, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. One of them was better than the other one, but I can't remember which one was the better of the two. But they're still worth looking at. One is called Acid Dreams, the CIA, LSD, and the 60s Rebellion. And the other one is called Storming Heaven, LSD and the American Dream. And I'm pretty sure that most people are not aware of here's my way of thinking. Like with marijuana, if you hear what's his name, Sessions, General Beauregard,
yeah.
Sessions the turd, when you hear him speak, marijuana leads to everything, you know, like George Carlin.
Heavy petting, hairy palms, blindness, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Beer leads to heroin, okay? Mother's milk leads to everything. But the fact of the matter is, the more scary headlines that they associate with a substance, the less they like the substance, not inherently because of the substance, but because of the beneficial nature of the substance. And I don't know what your experience was, if ever, but as a child of the 60s, I did imbibe several times with that sort of chemical. And the
results... Oh, I stared at the inside of my own brain a few times. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, the results were mixed, you know, because you got to remember, as a young teen... your head is already not screwed on straight, and when you kick it up to a higher orbit, like you might find with such a substance as that, you know, anything can happen, okay? But I do know that nothing was ever the same afterwards. If it was just like one and done, I would know to this very day that one's outlook and take on things and just... awareness, but not just awareness. We're talking about being aware of being aware, okay? That shifted.
Right. That's one of those dude moments, yes.
And you... What is that?
Lost part of that in a...
I tried to use the headphones again, but you know, when you become aware of being aware, that kind of shift is subtle, but it's also major. And once that shift occurs, nothing is ever the same, to a greater or lesser extent. It just depends on how much attention you're paying, you know? But talking about earlier... And also yesterday, you know, human suffering is part of the fixation that these conservatives have. But the other part of it is they're working out of a built-in mindset of there's never enough. Okay? It's a built-in mindset of scarcity and lack. And
right. And if they don't have everything... they might not have enough.
Well,
Yeah, and it's just, in a sense, it's part of the human condition. Like if I woke up tomorrow and found out I'd won the lottery for $485 million and 62 cents, I would obviously be euphoric. But at some point, maybe sooner, maybe later, something in the back of my little head would say, oh, but what do I do when all this runs out? You know? And what do they think that people
do? And see, in the back of my head, I'm going, I don't know, but it's going to be fun doing it.
Wait a minute. Okay, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I switched something because I think that's what was causing the problem. But what do these people think that people who receive benefits like Social Security disability or Medicare, well, let's just keep it in the economic, you know, the dollars and cents. Let's say somebody's retired and they get Social Security, or they're disabled and they get Social Security. What the hell do they think people are doing with that money? Like we hoard it up and sit on a big ever-growing pile of money? Hell no.
Well, no, I mean, that's the essential dumbassery of somebody like Francis Rooney, okay?
Yeah, well, that's where I was going. And
what does he think those dilettante Alzheimer's patients are doing just laying around not remembering things?
Oh, yeah, yeah, taking the easy way out, you know? Suckled at the government sugar tit is their mindset, which is pure baloney. It's just nonsense.
And Scott, not to disagree with you, but you sell them short. It is baloney and it is nonsense, but it is so much more and so much less than that. Baloney and nonsense is what you get. I mean, and I realize we're in semantics here and quibbling.
Yeah.
Baloney and nonsense happens in the center ring at the circus with the clowns and the car. And more clowns,
yeah, okay.
and seltzer bottles and shit like that. This is way past that. This the Republican health care bill comes from that dark corner of human nature that is also the province wherein resides all the other nasty things about us. War. Imposed famine, murder, genocide, because those are all housed in the same place. And that's where these bastards live.
Well, let me ask you something. Are you old enough to remember a thing in the 70s called EST?
Electroshock therapy?
No. There was a guy named Warner Erhard who came up with this thing called EST.
Oh, and that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I never did EST in the 70s, but in the 80s, I did a kind of an updated version of EST, a kind of a kinder, gentler version of it. I mean, they still called you an asshole, okay? And they still invited you to, you know, cheerfully return the unused portion of your life and having your investment be, you know, greatly refunded, okay? Return the unused portion and get your money back, in other words. But one of the things that I got from that, and I got a multitude of stuff over two weekends and an evening, was the fact that human beings are scared shitless of one another. You know, it's part of our intrinsic wiring, I think. And part of the reason is, we, in a sense, we bring it on ourselves. But part of it is, and I think even Martin Luther King talked about this, you know, in the days of desegregation and segregation, he was talking about, you know, and I'm quoting very roughly here, he said, we distrust or hate one another because we don't know one another. And we don't know one another because we're separated from one another. And he went on and on to basically break it down that, you know, when it comes right down to it, we all, even the most detestable people,
at some level in their being, all have something in common with every other person. Okay, like we all, if it's funny, we'll laugh. If it's sad, we'll cry. If you cut us, we'll bleed. Okay, but the big stumbling block, you know, getting back to war and armaments, and I have mine. Screw all the rest of you all, and the entire rest of it. It all stems back to it's a fear-based mindset, you know, and it could be based on nothing. People could be scared shitless simply because on some level it seems to work for them. But if they would be willing to examine it, okay, and have a close encounter with another human being on a one-to-one level without bringing any judgment or criticism or anything to that encounter, it's possible that in some cases there could be a space would open up, if you will, for the creation of something really amazing that's hard to anticipate, because we're so used to things not working in life that when you encounter something, the possibility of something working, okay, it just blows our mind. It's even better than acid. Does that make sense on some level?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not pushing back. If I interrupt you, you know, that's a okay. That's a good sign I ain't getting it.
Okay. Well, I'm just kind of rambling, I guess. Pardon me, which I do. But what Jerry was talking about was right. I mean, and what I mentioned earlier about the more beneficial a substance is and threatening to the system, that's the other part of the equation, the more horseshit the powers that be will shovel out into the conversation and create laws and all this other crap. And you know, I'm not saying everybody should, you know, drop a purple micro dot or something. Although,
Some of us are not cut out for it.
No, that's true. You've got to be willing to boldly go, okay?
I boldly went, and then I boldly stopped going.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to accomplish things that I felt like I couldn't accomplish while I was staring at the insides of my own brain.
Yeah, okay.
And I couldn't get to a place where I could guarantee that, you know, that every experience was going to be a good one.
Yeah, I
because
know that.
The good ones were great, but the bad ones were bad.
And another question for Trump and for Jeff Sessions. Okay, if the active ingredient or the chemistry in these various substances is so bad, how is it that our own human brains have receptors that are specifically designed to interact with those active ingredients? What is that about?
I honest to God don't know.
Well, you know what it looks like? It looks like the vested interests in, you know, corporate pharmaceuticals and the beer and wine and liquor industries, and who knows who else, are all shoveling money as fast as is humanly possible to cause these elected people to jump to their tune, dance to their tune, as opposed to actually looking into it and having experts talk about it. You know, sort of the total antithesis of this healthcare deal. How many hearings did you watch on C-SPAN, Bob, with his Trump care?
The not having hearings was kind of the point.
Well, that's what I mean. See, that should be Exhibit A in the trial. You know, what were these people up to? Well, they were up to no good is what they were up to, and probably way beyond no good.
I think that's a safe bet.
But anyway, I don't have any point or conclusion or anything. I did find out one thing that you should never do, okay? You should never mix LSD and IBM unless you want to take a business trip. So other than that, I don't know what else to do.
You're going to hell for that.
No cowbell for you.
No cowbell. No.
But, I only raise these things and talk about these things because to the extent that we can have a conversation, not just the two of us, but everybody on the planet, to the extent that we can look beyond what seems to be obvious and shift our awareness and our perception, even just a tiny bit, you know, that's a cause for celebration. You know, and, you know, it's that old, who was it, Zig Ziglar, the old sales motivating guy.
Oh, yeah.
If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always had.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think things, hell, if things aren't dire enough to where we need to analyze where, you know, what we're up to, I don't know what else we need. Of course, now being human beings, we probably need it to be, you know, a quarter inch away from just total annihilation on a global scale before we
like I said at the beginning, the Vulcans go back to their ship and this particularly the orange-haired Vulcan starts screaming, "Build that wall!"
Yeah,
I mean, we're always at war against ourselves. I mean, I know what Est was about, and I remember reading about their seminars and stuff like that. But I was also, that's all after the fact because I was busy being a kid. You know, you got about 10 years on me.
Yeah.
So I missed out on that, but I wound up 10 years later doing some Jungian stuff via the Ira Progoff journaling method, which was awfully interesting in its own right, and a way of crawling around inside one's own skull without the benefit of lysergic acid. But to me, the big, and you know, maybe this is the hobgoblin of a small mind. But to me, the biggest help has always been history. Because if you treat history as something real and not something dull and not something that's just a matter of memorizing dates and places, then you really can begin to see some parallels, even if they're not necessarily direct or exact. Mm-hmm. Consequently, given my training, that's why I wander off into the fertile fields of ancient Rome and ancient Greece. But the only thing I could offer by way of perspective, Scott, is to say that the most common mistake that any population group of humans ever make is to think that they are experiencing something for the very first time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. A child's first taste of ice cream, assuming that it's a happy thing. We're all like that child tasting ice cream or, God knows, a bite of a green persimmon the first time. And we're looking... We look at where we are right now, and we think, well, this is about as nasty as America's ever gotten.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, it's not. there may be some firsts in terms of how a president has treated the office or his obligations under the law. But, you know, remember, Trump's hero, supposedly, because it's racist Bannon's hero, is... Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
And while the man's been lionized for some of his attitudes and positions, I can't just blow past a guy with a genocidal streak. I saw and it's just how I'm wired. I saw a a reference in some column a couple of weeks back to the delightfully named Tishomingo. And a little light bulb went off, and I went, oh, yeah, how delight, yeah, well, that's just a charming name, isn't it? It's Devoon. Because I just happen to know who Tishomingo was.
Well, tell me, give me the short version, because I'm not entirely sure. It rings a bell, but I'm not sure.
Well, Tishomingo was a war leader of the Choctaw people in what we now recognize as Mississippi. And there, and from the American Revolution up to the War of 1812, there was not a conflict in which the young United States fought that he did not take up everything he had and go give everything he had on behalf of the United States of America, such as it was, or the colonies even. And he was even decorated by the federal government. He is, in fact, buried in Congressional Cemetery in Washington, D.C.
Okay, it's beginning, the bell
with a huge monument. With a huge monument.
Yeah.
And really, you know, profound laudatory words on his stone. But in the final analysis, he was an indigenous person. And when it came time for him to go, it didn't matter how much blood he had shed on behalf of the United States, how many times he'd put himself at risk, how much loss his people had suffered. When it was time to go on the Trail of Tears, by God, it was time to go.
Yeah.
And he died walking from Mississippi to Oklahoma.
Okay.
And never made it to Oklahoma, so that there are two places. There's Tishomingo County, Tishomingo, Oklahoma, and Tishomingo County, Mississippi. And Tishomingo County, Mississippi just happens to share a common border with the little county where I grew up. So that's why I knew. But that's as nasty a moment in American history as we have. But it, in terms of an isolated event, but it stands beside slavery.
Yeah.
Which this country did not get over, didn't want to get over in the first place in many instances, and still can't come to grips with. And by this country, I mean the white power structure of this country.
Well, isn't it interesting? This is how white people operate, or have operated, or maybe still operate. When you were mentioning the carving or the words on the monument at his final resting place at the Congressional Cemetery, there is like a formula that you can use. It is in an inverse proportion. The nicer the words in the inscription on your memorial,
the shittier you were treated.
Exactly. The more shabbily, to put it more politely. But yeah, shittily is what it comes down to. And isn't it interesting that the U.S. remember all those people that used to be friends and then didn't stay friends? They became mortal enemies. You know, it's you have to. The guy walking up and down in the stands needs to be hawking programs 24/7 in order to keep the players straight. And who's on what team?
Because shifting alliances and we were talking. I think it was last night. And there were some, somebody mentioned great Republican presidents and
that's a short list.
And the particular reference was Eisenhower and FDR, or TR, rather, Eisenhower and Teddy Roosevelt. And I almost interjected, but I didn't, that one of the forgotten potential greats was James Garfield. If you study how he got to be president and what he got to be president on, the murder of James Garfield could be as great a turning point in the American historical cycle as any presidential assassination. And I do mean any. And then the fact that the man was tormented to death, he didn't actually get assassinated by the guy who shot him. He was doctored to death.
Yeah, there was a PBS show on that a while
back.
Yeah, and that's
a good piece, but it encourages one to delve deeper.
Yeah.
American history might have been rewritten by a couple of terms with that guy.
And strangely enough, it was a nut with a gun, as I recall, who dispatched him.
Yeah, I mean,
Mr. Garfield.
Completely not associated with anything you and I would call reality.
Yeah.
I mean, he was having... Garfield was, by God, going to give him a federal postmaster appointment.
No, because, of course.
Because you know... the little noises in his brain told him so. And so, you know, guns are easy. He goes and gets a gun, and American history changes in the distance it takes for the firing pin to strike the shell.
Yeah, but think about it, Bob. How far we've come as a people. You know, that was in what, 1880, as I recall, or 81 thereabouts. With Mr. Garfield becoming dispatched in one quick hurry. In today's world, those who are hearing voices and seeing odd visions without the benefit of chemistry are getting elected, usually on the Republican side, to higher office. These bastards are in charge of the joint.
Mm-hmm. And they are about as near to the Republican Party, to the kind of Republican that Garfield was, as we are to Pluto.
Yeah, well, I was kind of going there. We're on a good wavelength tonight, Bob. What did you take? I'm just on caffeine and nicotine today, so.
Oh, dude, I am totally whacked on some all natural, free range, GMO, non-GMO, cage free, cruelty free, yogurt.
I mean, this stuff
is made from milk that was obtained from cattle who milked themselves willingly.
Ooh.
Yeah. berries that were lovingly plucked from the vine or the bush or whatever the berries grow on, by tiny little butterflies, and just dropped into the yogurt spontaneously, and with no rhyme or reason or order whatsoever. I mean, I am trashed on this stuff.
Mercy. It reminds me of this thing that I do to my relatives back east. They just will not visit, you know, for whatever reason. And now I've taken to bribing them. You know, I said, come on out to San Diego. I'll take your ride on the roller coaster that dates back to the early 20s, wooden roller coaster down at Mission Beach. And then after we finish that excitement, I'll take you down to the nearby stand and treat you to one of our organically grown snow cones.
Oh, Jesus. You're one of those people that remembers the old black and white documentary about the pasta trees.
The what?
The spaghetti trees.
Oh, yes, yes. I remember the Italian
spaghetti harvest, yeah.
Yes, and the BBC ran that with tongue-in-cheek, but it was barely discernible.
and bought lock, stock, and barrel, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I see by the clock on the wall that somebody has taken the clock, so I'm going to let you get back to it, and... thank you for a great conversation. It always is, but tonight it was especially good.
Yes, and if you need to, you and Punky go and scream at each other in the mirror, okay?
Oh, let me tell you real quick before I go. Earlier today, I was at the inspection for the new apartment. I hope.
Yeah.
And it mostly passed. There were just a couple of little things that they need to do. But you were talking earlier about subscribers. That is top on my list once I get settled. Is to become a subscriber, and I'm going to do it toward the end of the month because I know what time of the—that's the most critical time. So, it's just a matter of freeing up some bucks.
Well, Well, thank you, Scott. Thank you very kindly. And you know, the fact of the matter is we don't have a single day in the month when we have 13 $10 subscribers.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I take that back. We've got a couple of days when maybe we get close, thanks to some people who, shall we say, oversubscribed. And thank you very kindly for oversubscribing. That being the case, you know, any day is good. And, you know, to get up, but yeah, this time of the month, we're down at one subscriber, two subscribers, you know, things like that. And it really does make a difference. I don't know what's going to happen overnight, for instance, but we've got, thank you very kindly, Kay, for jumping in. We've got $120 to go so as not to have a $320 fundraising goal tomorrow. And once again, the usual apology applies. I'm sorry. I don't like talking about this stuff. I don't like taking up the program's time with this stuff. But it's the only way I know of staying on the air. Because even if I was willing to, say, advertise for the American Petroleum Institute, the Koch brothers, ExxonMobil, and every other evil bastard on the planet, there's still no sales staff to go out and hustle the ads.
Yeah.
So I mean that's kind of how that plays out, but it has been a delightful conversation. It always is, and give my fondest regards to Punky and his friend in the mirror.
Yeah.
I had to tell you, we talk pets from time to time.
Yeah.
We had a big moment here today. Now I don't have a cockatiel or any other sort of bird. We don't have a fish. We got a couple of cats.
Yeah, I've heard tell of the cats.
And Mushu is the older of the two, and her real name's Mocha. And she's graceful and lovely, and I think she walks around the house like she thinks she's in a jungle. And the young one is just this little black fuzzball, who is maybe not quite, I'd say maybe 9 months old, 10, a rescue kitty. And where Mocha is graceful, she isn't. It's gotten to where, you remember the Pink Panther movies?
Yeah.
you remember who was Clouseau's? Constantly attacking him to keep him on his toes.
Oh, I know the actor. I can see him in my mind's eye.
Little Nyx has become, I mean, I just get pounced on.
Yeah.
And she's so proud of herself. Well, so I'm running out of time, but today something happened. The door into the studio is, you know, the doorknob is 80 years old. And so it doesn't latch that firmly. And it appears that Mocha has figured out that if she sits on the counter and just reaches out with her paw, with claws retracted, and runs her paw over, the cat has learned to work the doorknob. and I saw it and heard it happen, and I went, well, I'll be damned.
Yeah.
The next step is thumbs, and then I'm screwed.
Yeah. That maybe the cat changed the settings on your audio, on your FAB machine.
I'm pretty sure she did. But anyway, Scott, have yourself a good evening.
All right, Bob. See ya.
Later. And if I'm not on the air any time in the next few days, the cat did it. God knows what they've learned to do. So it's time to get out of here. I've run over time. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time in listening to these conversations and participating in whatever way you do. And thank you to those of you, a significantly smaller number, who actually keep the program on the air. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you, Michael and Madison, for agreeing with me about Star Trek Enterprise. And always, always, always. Oh, it was Cato. Thank you, Randy. Cato. K-A-T-O. Always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.